Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So Obama is he a buffoon or what? Is he a buffoon? Is he insane? First, he spends $1 trillion. Then he says, we got to really tighten our belt and cut the deficit in half. And then he spends another few trillion dollars. I mean, he's insane. Then last week, what does he do? He reverses Bush's executive order on embryonic stem cell funding. And then when he signs the omnibus spending bill, it has in it a provision that bans funding of embryos if they will be destroyed. They are just so absurd. They are like buffoons. They don't know what they're doing. Now, is it good that he signed an omnibus spending bill that has a prohibition of destroying embryos for research? Yeah, that's good. That's good. It was an accident. But I wonder what else Obama just banned when he signed that massive, what was it, $3.6 trillion budget? Maybe he banned homosexuals. Is that possible? Is it possible that homosexuals are banned now? And the interesting story that does not go away about Barack Obama's citizenship and where he was born, one of the plaintiffs, one of the cases against Obama actually showed up at a speaking engagement of Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. And the report is that she was able to ask a question, and she wanted to know why the court was denying her case, hearing her case. And the report is that he said, all right, well, please let me have, she had her case with her, and he said, let me have it and I'll look at it. So what, as though he hasn't seen it in the news, at least WorldNet Daily has what, 300,000 signatures, petitions, saying Obama spends tens of thousands of dollars to avoid presenting a $5 birth certificate? I mean, come on. Anyway, that story, of course, is fascinating. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. My Life's Work is a book on the Bible called The Plot. You know what a plot is? The plot of a movie, the plot of a novel, the storyline, the story, what happens in the story. You could have an awfully thick book and you could tell the plot of it in a simple sentence. Well, my book is called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, that the story of the Bible explains the details. If you don't know the overview, count on it that you will be confused about the details. And the way that you think the details fit together, you might be an expert regarding details, but if you don't have an overview, you could be completely wrong in how you're putting together all those details. So the title, The Plot, An Overview of the Bible, grasping the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So that book has been translated into Spanish, the first seven chapters of The Plot, which in and of themselves make a complete package. But The Plot itself is 11 chapters, about 300 pages. And what's so exciting to us, well, first of all, the translation of the first seven chapters of The Plot is extremely professionally done. It's done by, I don't want to give his name out publicly, but he's very well known. When governments need government signs and pamphlets translated, into Spanish. He is very successful. He's done news broadcasting in Spanish language newscast on three continents. He's just an extraordinary guy and a Christian. And so he translated the first seven chapters of my manuscript, now the book that we sell here at Bob and Yurt Live, called The Plot. He translated it into Spanish, and we have been selling that. And when there are Spanish-speaking believers who want solid Bible teaching, if they can't afford it, we've given away many, many copies. It's called La Trama. La Trama, the Spanish word for the plot of a movie. T-R-A-M-A. La Trama. Well, down in Costa Rica, there's a Bible Institute, and they train its missionaries from America who've set up this Bible Institute some years ago, and they train local Costa Ricans and prepare them for ministry to pastor their own churches down there. And in that Bible Institute, they use the plot as a significant part of their curriculum. But of course, they use the Spanish translation of it, La Trama. And I'm just so excited that that institute took it upon themselves to take the English version, the original, of now chapter 8, which is, I think, the longest chapter in the plot, and they have translated it into Spanish. And so now La Trama is not 1 through 7 of my book, but it's chapters 1 through 8. And chapter 8 is on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what a startling and fascinating chapter. And it's all about the Christian life, living the Christian life. So it's really a lot of fun. And I'm just so thankful to the Bible Institute run by the Clarks down in Costa Rica for their outreach down there and their work and their translation work of these materials into Spanish. So a thank you to Jeremy and Andrea Clark out in Costa Rica. And by the way, they listen to this show over the internet. But here in Colorado, we've got 50,000 watts covering much of the state and getting into Wyoming, Kansas, Nebraska, even Oklahoma. And right now, we're going to go to another state. We are going to go, as the personhood movement is marching across America, this is just so thrilling. We are going to go to South Carolina following the March of Personhood across the U.S. and speak with Senator Lee Bright. Senator, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, great to be on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Senator. And we're, what, almost 2,000 miles away, but we're excited about what's going on in South Carolina because last year we had a personhood amendment on our ballot in Colorado statewide, and we had over 500,000 Coloradans in a liberal state vote for the personhood of the unborn. So we didn't win, but it was a great first step. Now we'd like to know, Senator Lee Bright, what are you guys doing in South Carolina?
Well, first we're trying to get this bill passed. Every life should be protected. And in South Carolina, it's, I've got a lot of co-sponsors on this bill, and we're doing everything we do to get the subcommittee hearing and get it on the full committee and pass the bill.
And could you tell us about the bill?
Well, we basically have listed about everything that a unborn child can do in the womb as activity, and you know, just basically laying it out, because what we were told was that the biggest problem with overturning Roe v. Wade is we had to basically say when life begins.
Yeah, so we need to show people who should know, because it's intuitively obvious for thousands of years, the Hippocratic Oath said, I will not procure an abortion. And you go back to the Mosaic Law, you see the baby in the womb is considered a person. And when a woman is pregnant, from the beginning of human history, people have said, how's the baby? Can you feel the baby? They don't say, how's the tumor? So, but you need to put in your law things that will show people who are even hesitant or resistant that, hey, this is a baby we're talking about.
Yeah, and I actually had, I've always been pro-life, but my wife and I lost a child back in January.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And she was supposed to be 16 weeks. It was a pretty tragic circumstance. We had actually taken our 14-year-old and 10-year-old out of school with us to see the ultrasound because we'd already had one good ultrasound. But there was not a heartbeat. And, you know, we, you know, the preparation and all the things you do for a new child and then watching that child in the womb jump around and for anybody to want to deny the right for that child to live is just beyond my comprehension.
Wow. Senator Lee Bright, for those in the audience who don't know what the baby does in the womb, could we talk about that for a moment? Because that baby, very early on, is doing some of the most extraordinary things. Like, you could actually read his brain waves when he's only just weeks old, and the baby will actually sleep. And when he sleeps, you know how scientists look at alpha waves and beta waves, and the baby actually dreams. And we know that they, of course, suck their thumb, they play with their toes, they do so many things that you see a baby after he's born do.
And it's just the location and the fact that it's denied rights just because it's in a mother's womb and not outside the body is just terrible. That in this country, with really, you know, when you look at it, I mean, we have a nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and to think that we're not going to stand up and protect those unborn children is just beyond me. And I think we're in the majority, but we have to push hard to get the rest of the folks to be active and to pressure their representatives and just to let them know how important this is.
Mm-hmm. Senator Lee Bright, how long have you been in the South Carolina legislature?
I've been in, started in January.
Started in January. So you've really come out of the gate running, and thank you for doing that. That's heroic. We recently, here in Denver, Colorado, we had the author of a best-selling book come out to speak at our March for Life. Eric Metaxas wrote a book called Amazing Grace about William Wilberforce in England in the 1800s who fought to make slavery unthinkable. And we've taken so much encouragement from him, Lee, because when he started his work, people thought, the world thought, that slavery was perfectly acceptable, that it was good. And for someone just to say that slavery was a bad thing, they would be completely alienated. And by the force of determination of this one Christian man, William Wilberforce, and undoubtedly with God's blessing and encouraging him, now the world thinks differently about slavery. The world, whether believer or unbeliever, Christian or non-Christian, thinks that slavery is unconscionable, it's intolerable, and now we have our time to do the same, to change the thinking of the world on the killing of these little kids.
You're exactly right. That's well said. I tell you, it's a travesty, I don't know how we got here as a culture and a society, but we can only hope that with God's help we can turn back and do what's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Senator Lee Bright, you've already said it, but I'd like to get down some of these details about what's happening next with the bill. It's going to be in a committee?
Right. It'll go to subcommittee, and we'll have a subcommittee hearing, and then I plan to push it obviously out of subcommittee and get it on full committee, and then from there, we'll obviously try to get it to the floor and get it passed.
Mm. And you guys are joining a list of other states just in the past couple of weeks. We've had legislators on from North Dakota and Montana. We had the president of Georgia Right to Life, a delegate, a representative from Maryland. And state after state, now I believe it's about eight states, have introduced personhood legislation, or like in Mississippi, they've got their wording approved, and they have a petition drive getting underway to collect the signatures to get personhood on the ballot. So, Senator Lee Bright, this is a dramatic moment. It's a historic moment, even in the pro-life movement, because the movement has been somewhat in disarray, especially with Obama winning the White House. and his desire to pass FOCA, the Freedom of Choice Act, so-called, that he was a co-sponsor of as a senator. And that would do away with regulations. You know, we've had 30 years of regulating abortion, but to acknowledge the personhood of the unborn child, that has energized the pro-life movement like nothing else in 20 years.
And, you know, so many states are passing legislation and doing things to restrict and hopefully eliminate abortion. And the federal government, you know, I also sponsored the 10th Amendment resolution in the South Carolina Senate. And we also have a bill in the House basically letting the federal government, putting them on notice. But the fact that the federal government's trying to step in and undo what these states are trying to do, that it's the right thing to do, is just mind-boggling. I mean, it definitely goes outside the scope of the federal government. And to think that they would try to limit what the states are doing is just outrageous.
Well, and no state, we talked about this recently on this program with another leader, but no nation, of course, has the right to set aside God's command, do not murder. So if nations decide they're going to start killing Jews or Christians or blacks or Muslims or any class of people, that is a crime against God. It's a crime against humanity. And no nation should feel secure if it starts to systematically slaughter a group of people like a genocide. And
you're exactly right.
Yeah, and the same thing is true with the states in America. No state has the right to enslave or to kill Jews or babies or Christians. But what is especially horrific is when the federal government comes to a state and says, we insist that you allow the killing of babies. That is utterly horrific. And before Roe v. Wade, there were 19 states in America that had begun to legalize abortion at all different levels, whether for rape and incest or, like in New York State, pretty much abortion on demand through maybe the first 6 months. But with Roe v. Wade and Dole v. Bolton, then the federal government said, we're going to force every state to allow child killing. And, of course, that was an egregious wrong against the states and against humanity.
And to say that that has anything to do with the right to privacy, I mean, it was such a reach by the courts at that time. I recently read Scalia's dissenting opinion, and I mean, it is just absolute common sense that what they were doing was wrong, and it didn't have anything to do with the law. Mm. And the stretch that they took and the liberty that they took in that court case is just it's disheartening. And of course, you know, Jefferson and many of our founders were afraid of a judiciary that did not have to face election and that were appointed for life. And I think that some of these, you know, definitely our Supreme Court in the last 40 years has proven his fears to be correct. Mm.
And Senator Lee, I actually think that Antonin Scalia needs help from you and your personhood bill, because sadly we've been airing audio clips of his appearances on 60 Minutes and at different universities over just the last year, and he has repeatedly said some very sad things. He has said that if there was a law that banned abortion nationwide, he would strike it down, and he doesn't believe that the child in the womb actually has any personhood protections. And so he was considered the greatest accomplishment of the pro-life movement of the last 30 years. In all these years of regulating abortion, where we've asked him and all these other justices to uphold laws about how you can kill the baby, what conditions you have to meet before you kill a baby, eventually these guys no longer view the fetus as a baby. And they our own judges are starting to doubt or outright say that it's not a person and they have no qualms with killing it. They just want to follow a proper procedure. So the nation needs South Carolina's personhood bill to teach even our own ranks, to shore up our own side, that this baby is a person who has the God-given right to life.
And it's amazing that so many folks are so callous about the issue, and And, you know, when you get with a person that is pro-choice and you start to, you know, explain and discuss the rationale behind their opinion, you always end up with a solution of, we just don't want to talk about that. And it's because they know in their hearts what the truth is. And, you know, all these folks that have had abortions, I was listening to a show the other day, and I forget which station it was, but they were talking about, they had called in, might have been public radio, but they had called in, which I don't listen to often, but they had called in and said that, had this lady calling in, and all these people, what they wanted them to do was call in if they'd had an abortion to share the grief, and then the person on the other line was dispelling that they didn't have any need for grief.
Oh, what a tragedy.
And it was amazing that all the people that ran said, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I still have so much guilt. And, you know, people know what's wrong. I mean, they think it's a quick solution. And we've also got the 24-hour bill going in South Carolina. But you know, these women get in desperate circumstance, and they think that, okay, this is going to end everything. And it doesn't end everything. It's the beginning.
Now, who introduced that? Is it a wait 24 hours and then you can have the abortion?
Right, right. We're trying to limit abortion every step of the way here, and like I said, we'd like to eliminate it. But
if you know, I'm wondering if I could, when we're done, if our call screener could grab your mailing address, because American Right to Life has put out a DVD called Focus on the Strategy, and Senator Bright, it's fascinating. The look at the last 30 years of regulations, all these laws like the partial birth abortion ban, it was a 15-year effort, and hundreds of millions of dollars were raised to achieve, and now it's the law of the land, the partial birth abortion ban. And Dr. James Dobson, who was a major supporter of that effort, he put in his monthly newsletter, he said, ending partial birth abortion did not save a single human life. And as it turns out, these regulations, the argument is being made that the regulations are backfiring and they make the abortion industry look more reasonable and more humane. And it's taking our judges and convincing our judges that the fetus is not a person, because if the fetus was a person, you couldn't wait 24 hours and then kill it.
Well, in the state of South Carolina, we just started last session requiring the ultrasound. So we require the ultrasound, and I see exactly where you're going with that, and I agree. You know, we want to eliminate it entirely, but I think there will be some lives saved over making someone see the ultrasound and wait 24 hours. So, I mean, we're to me, it's a war, and if we've got to win a small battle here and a small battle there.
It is a war, and we do have to win battles. Of course, we have to do what's right all the way along the line. Well, Senator Lee Bright, would that be all right with you? Could we send you that DVD and maybe in a couple weeks get your opinion on it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, that would be an honor. Is there any last word of encouragement? Is there a way people in Colorado can help with the South Carolina personhood bill?
Well, you know, as long as each state focuses, and of course, emails from other states always help. I mean, I've had a few. I had a lot of emails on my 10th Amendment bill from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's you don't feel so isolated. The mainstream media, you know, they've got the divide and conquer mentality, and they try to make us all feel like we're off on a limb and there's nobody else with us. But I think we're in the silent majority that goes to work and works hard each day and then tries to spend quality time with our families. And, you know, we don't have the time to protest that these other folks do, you know, on the other side. But at the end of the day, I think that as long as we'll vote, we'll tell our neighbors. And
what's the email that people could send you an encouragement?
It's LeeBright@scSenate.org.
LeeBright, B-R-I-G-H-T, at scSenate.org.
That's my Senate address, and that way I'll have those to talk to the folks as we're pushing the bills, because I've had a tremendous response from folks on the bill and on some other bills as well. So
yes. It's
always good to know that, because the other side is going to discourage you, and it's always good to know you have folks in your camp. But I tell you, the most important thing we can do is pray. I mean, that is the most important thing we can do as a nation right now.
We need to pray for God's wisdom, His courage, His blessing, and that we would have the courage to follow His lead. Senator, one argument that comes to mind from Harry Blackmun when Roe v. Wade, they heard Roe v. Wade, and it came from the state of Texas. I think the attorney general was a man named Flowers. And the challenge was put to him, how could Texas say that the fetus is a person when Texas has a law that says you can kill the fetus under various circumstances, like if the father's a criminal, if the father's a rapist, for example. And
right.
And that argument, that inconsistency, what Harry Blackmun, who is a Republican justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, who wrote Roe v. Wade, and he basically said, look, it seems like you guys don't believe your own rhetoric, because if you believed the baby was a person, you wouldn't have regulations of when you could kill it.
Right.
And that really was, it was as though we undermined our own position by not being consistent with the God-given right to life that's not negotiable or not transferable. But I want to go ahead.
I think you're exactly right, and that's a very good point. You know, all these folks say, well, you know, if this is a circumstance or that is a circumstance, and when you agree on exceptions, then basically you kill our argument, because then it's not its own life.
Right. There's no principle you're standing on. You're just really trying to control women instead of a principle of a God-given right to life that we don't have the right to negotiate with. So, Senator Lee Bright, if it's okay, I'd like my call screener to get your address, and I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for allowing me on the show.
Sure thing. It's Lee Bright at SC, South Carolina, Lee Bright at scsenate.org. And if you would, please send a note of encouragement to Senator Lee Bright. And, of course, we are in the midst of a revolution in the pro-life movement. And there are leaders who, for the last 20 years, have been discouraged from promoting personhood, and they've not done it, and they've promoted regulations. Now, there are a growing number of leaders who realize it's wrong to regulate, we need to only promote personhood, but then there are others, and it's a large segment, who think, well, why don't we do both? Why don't we regulate and fight for personhood? And what they don't realize is that their regulations undermine personhood. Regulations undermine personhood with the very judges and governing officials and the mind of the public that we so desperately need to change. Because the judges say, well, if you believed it was a person, you wouldn't say, wait 24 hours and then you could kill a Jew. You wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say, get your parents' permission and then you could kill your neighbor. You wouldn't say that. And so when you support exceptions that certain children can be killed, or you advocate conditions under which certain children can be killed, well, then it seems like you're not standing on any principle. You're just trying to control women, keep them barefoot and pregnant. And we undermine the truth and the principle and the justice and the love when we try to be politically savvy. Hey, Maranatha, what a great school. And our website is KGOV.com. May God bless you.